welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
It's Mothering Sunday, and you might expect a wee word to tickle your ears, but God has something for us all today. God is speaking to us, and so I just pray that over all of us today, that our minds are alert and our hearts are open, Father. Whatever you have to say to each of us individually today, we're ready and available, and we want to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. It was great to see the numbers increase there this morning as praise started. It's wonderful to gather together while we're still allowed. I just want to tell you a wee joke to get us relaxed. One day, a little girl was sitting and watching her mother do the dishes. And suddenly she noticed that her mother had several strands of white hair sticking out of her brunette head. The little girl asked, "Why are some of your hairs white, Mummy?" The mother replied smugly, "Well, every time you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turns white." The little girl thought for a moment and said, "So how come all of Grandmother's hair is white, Mummy?" Just one more, because I don't think I've quite got you yet. The physics teacher at our school gave the class a lesson on magnets. The next day he recapped on the lesson and asked, "My name begins with an M, has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I?" The kids answered, "My mother." Praise God. Well, we're just going to open with acknowledging that women, all our stories are different, and men too. And today isn't, it's not always an easy day for everybody. And also people listening at home, when this message goes out, many women desire to become a mum. Some don't have a great mum. Some don't get on with mum. And many have lost mum. And she's in glory now. So I just want to acknowledge that. That's okay. And we see that. And today we want to celebrate motherhood that he has placed in each and every woman in creation. But yet acknowledge where you're at and the journey that you're on and your story. So, amen. You know, one unifying fact for all women here today is that we are made in God's maternal image. That doesn't change for any of us, no matter our circumstances. And men, today, your unifying thread is that you get to be blessed to be beside that today. Amen. So I just want to read from Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So God didn't create man in his own image and then create women as a wee side dish. He created man and woman in his image. Isn't that powerful to know that you're not just company for a man, woman? In case you did think that you have God's image in you, and it's not the same as men, and it's not actually the same as anybody else either. We're all unique, but none better than the other. And that's just so encouraging to know. Amen. So in women, God created a deep desire to nurture. Yes, here in today, you have in you a deep desire to nurture. It's the beautiful image of God inside of you. And I love that rather than Mother's Day, it's Mothering Sunday. To honour all of those who have mothered us, whether it be mums, whether it be friends, even fathers, even uncles that have mothered us, and to honour that image of God imparted to each of us and that lives out through us. And you might wonder why the Bible talks in male terms but we forget all the feminine metaphors about God in the Bible too, and there are many, and I won't go through them all today, but just to give you one in Luke 13:34. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. Just hear God's voice there, so maternal, so nurturing. He'd love to gather his countrymen and women to himself like a mother gathers her chicks. I have been so bold as to put together my own definition of motherhood. So this is the dictionary according to Tanya. The transmission of a God-centered vision of life to children, both natural and spiritual children, and the creation of an environment, a simple place, a refuge of Christ's peace, and a launching pad for God's righteousness. What a privilege, women, we have, don't we, to nurture this generation, an honour that God has entrusted us with. Do you know, it's amazing how much your mum or your wife or your friend achieves in a day, don't you think, men? Doesn't it sometimes feel like God maybe cheated you a wee bit and he gave the women a few extra hours in the day because they achieve so much? But at the end of the day, when she collapses on the sofa, exhausted, and goes over what she's achieved that day, I don't know if that's really what God had in mind. That we burn out, that we just go on to the next task, the next task, the next task. Well, it's great, girls, and we'll give ourselves a wee pat on the back, don't we? I don't think it's quite what he wanted. You've all heard it said, you'll be no good to anyone if you're not good to yourself. My granny says that a lot to me. But women, if we don't stop long enough to steward what God has placed in us, we won't be able to use it effectively for others. And you may have someone placed beside you in your life that needs that nurturing, who needs that gift. And maybe if we don't stop, we'll miss it. So I want to encourage you today to pause. Not always for long, but often. Pause often. For example, it's hard to get this across, but sometimes I glimpse, let's say, Ruby. And just for that moment, she doesn't know I'm looking at her. The world, for me, stops turning. And it's all going around me. But just in that moment, I look at her and I see, I'm sorry, Ruby. I see God's creation in her. I see his purposes in her and the beauty of that. And it's only that second, but the world has stopped turning. And then it starts turning again. But in that second, God gives me vision and encourages me and spurs me on. And if we miss it, if we don't pause, and men, this is for you too, if we don't pause to hear it, to see it, we'll have lost that. And Robin, can I just say, I do that with you too, in case I get in trouble later. I look at you that way as well. His design is so individual, so balanced, so purposed. It's so good. Do you know, I spoke before on how God drops manna everywhere for us just to receive daily. It's like treasure that he has just dropped everywhere. But there's a bit of finding to do sometimes. There's a bit of stopping and looking and seeing it. And I just encourage you to look for the manna. Don't miss it. In the Psalms, David uses the word Selah. Is that right, David? Is that how you pronounce it? It's a musical term which I know nothing about. It occurs 71 times in 39 Psalms. And in Hebrew, it means pause, think of that. And, you know, everything that's placed in the Bible is for us. It's not just an extra word thrown in there. And I don't think David did it for dramatic effect. I believe David had the inspiration of God to know that the reader had to pause to look back and meditate on what had just happened, what was just sung, what was just said. And we can learn from that. In Matthew 17:1-5, we read, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up these three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Peter responded a bit like I might, quick to offer to build some tents and kind of missing what was really happening. He was busy keeping working, keeping focused. But the voice of the Father speaks. God interrupts Peter's busyness. A hush came over Peter's heart. "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When God invades the moments of pause in our lives and we breathe in, we realize that our striving is not necessary, and it's Jesus that fills those moments. But if we don't stop, we miss it. This time we're in now, this is the time to pause. The world needs the church. And if we plough on with what we think the church should do, with good ideas and this would be right, this would be acceptable, we might miss it. If we don't stop, if we don't hear the Father's voice and hear what he wants us to do, we've never lived in a time like this. There's no rule book. If we're all still here, we will tell generations to come of this time. We are making history right now, but we'll miss it if we don't stop. And others can't stop for us. They can't pause our lives for us to hear God for us. We have to do that. Remember Jesus' words to Martha in Luke 10:38-42. You'll remember Martha was so busy with what had to be done and annoyed that Mary was just sitting there at the feet of Jesus and all those dirty dishes and all this food to be prepared. And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary had chosen that good part, which was not to be taken away from her." We mustn't miss the good part. Stop, look around, marvel, remember what's been sown into you. Take time with Father, take time to be quiet. It will not be taken away from you. When it all goes wrong at home, the dog has wet on the floor, the kids are fighting, the doorbell goes, you just stand on a piece of Lego, oh, and you just want to scream, I encourage you to pause. Don't react. Be proactive and seek him in those times. We all know those times, don't we? And we've all dropped the ball probably in those times, haven't we? I know I have. But seek him. We are not of this world. We might be in it, but we are not of it. There's a better way. Do you know, it's like when all the madness is going around us, we are actually on the outside looking in. If we do it God's way, we're not in the middle of it. We can step back from that. Amen. So Pastor Hillary isn't here this morning, but she's a spiritual mum to me, and I am sure many of you would say the same. The Nabi children have had to share her with the rest of us. But she gave me a great bit of advice some time ago, and it's always stayed with me. And she told me a story about a woman, and this was many years ago, so in a time when ladies wore long skirts and aprons. And this lady had 7 children, and it was just, you can imagine how busy that is, running a home. In those days, you were baking the bread and washing clothes by hand, and just was non-stop. But this lady knew she had to stop and seek God for her family. So all she could do was sit in the middle of the floor with the children, ask them not to disturb her unless they had to, and she pulled up her skirts around her head like a tent. And every day, she would determine to have that time with Father, to listen to him, to talk to him. The kids were zoned out. All the madness was going on around her. But right then, she stopped. And she heard. And you know, somebody looking in could say, she's very neglectful. But she would have been neglectful not to do that, not to stop and seek God's plan, his way for her and her family. This must have taught those children. Can you imagine them in their 30s telling their friends, "Hi, When I was a wee boy, my mom used to pull her skirts up around her head and she wouldn't speak to us. But really, that would have imparted something to them, the importance of God leading their families and not them. Amen. We have many that we have to care for today, in this time, right now, not tomorrow, right now. There are many outside these walls who need us, who need the image of God that is in us, that nurture, but also what has been put in our man too. They need us. So this is the time we must seek his face. We must humble ourselves. We must pause long enough to get our eyes off us, our eyes off the media, our eyes off the bad reports, and on to him. Because we are spiritual parents at this time. And for me personally, I have never had so many phone calls and texts from people who would never contact me. What opportunity there is right now. The harvest, they're crying out, please give us hope. We don't know what to do. We're scared. What do you know that I don't? So it's a great time to be in. So those of us who are mothers in the natural at this time, I just want to share some scriptures with you. Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Stop and remember what's been imparted to you. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. We can teach our children through this time. We can teach them principles I'll never forget. Proverbs 1:8-9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. What we sow into our kids, both natural and spiritual, will stay with them, and you will see that come out. Even if you wonder where is it, it will come out. God's promised us that. A mother can make a significant spiritual impact on her children. Carol, you'll like this little fact. Susanna Wesley, mother of 17, two of which were John and Charles Wesley, spent 1 hour each day praying for her children. In addition, she took each child aside for a full hour each week to discuss spiritual matters. So it is no wonder her children were used of God to bring blessing to all of England and of much of America. Out of the 69 kings of France, only 3 were really loved by their subjects, and these 3 were the only ones reared by their own mothers and not tutors. I encourage any of you who can, over this time, to have a family devotional time if you don't do it already. A lot of us are going to have time at home with our families. Use it to start that if you don't already do it. If you already do it, take it to a new level. Make it personal to each one of you. Ask your children or ask your wife or your husband, what concerns you today? What are you sensing today? Let's open the scriptures. Let's hear what God says about that. Let's just stop. Let's just listen. And have that devotional time. We're all doing school timetables for the kids that are off school. Build that into your timetable. Build it into your day. And see what happens. Amen. So I would like to just pray for the women who are here this morning. Could I ask you all to stand? And come on, don't be shy, Lydia, on your feet. You have the image and likeness of God in you. Hallelujah. You're natural nurturers and God delights in you, women. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I pray that every hurt and every empty place that makes remembering today for some of you difficult, that is ministered to. Holy Spirit, minister to that today. We declare release. We declare healing. We declare breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus. May you remember what your mothers taught you. May your children remember what you have taught them, both spiritual and natural. I declare those memories are a garland of grace to your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Lord, help us pause. Help us seek you in the secret place long enough to hear. May we be sensitive to your voice and get so familiar with it, Father, that the second that you speak, we don't question. We know it's you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to not miss the treasure you have placed daily in our lives, the manna you have placed there. I declare we're going to see manna daily more and more in this time, Father, that you have placed there to encourage us, to grow us. And Father, I just thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. No distraction can cause us to miss what you have for us. No fear can take it from us in the name of Jesus. And I call those gifts that are in you women at this time to come out, because now is when they are needed to be revealed more and more, that we would die and you would be revealed more and more, Father, that Jesus, you would stand up inside of us. I speak health, I speak prosperity in the name of Jesus into every woman and every family here today. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. I'm just going to hand over now to Pastor Karen, who's going to share a little more.
Thank you, Tanya. Praise God. We're not going to keep you long, church, but I just want us to turn up to Psalm 91 for a little while. I think this psalm you've probably been reading every day, and if not, I would encourage you to do that. Psalm 91, we'll just look at the first few verses of there. Hallelujah. It's one of those psalms that you just have in, it's great to have had it in you, fortified in your spirit for times like these. Amen. It's awesome. So he who dwells, verse 1, in the secret place that talks about intimacy, the secret place, being with him alone. Matthew talks about when you have gone into your room and shut your door. Shut your door. It's a shut your door time. It's a time when the secret place, when you're just quiet before the Lord, letting him speak to you, you're talking to him. It's an intimate time. It's not a time for everybody else. It's a time for you and the Lord. It's lovely. Those intimate times with Jesus are lovely. So he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. As we were singing this morning, but verse 2, I will say, it's important for us to say, it's important for us, it's important for each individual to say, Lord, you are my deliverer. You are my strength. You are my healer. You know, words are so important. And the promises of God that he's given in his word, this word here, they're voice activated. It's lovely to be able to read the word. I love just walking along in my living room and being able to read these promises and say, Lord, you've promised me this. And stand in those. Because when you're reading those out loud, you're hearing as well. It's coming back. But you're speaking that. You're speaking those words of life. You're speaking those promises. So I will say, speak this word. Speak this psalm over yourself. Speak it over your family. Speak the word, other promises that God gives you over yourself daily. Verse 3, surely he, Almighty God, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. What's the snare of the fowler? That's the enemy, Satan. He's always trying to catch us. He's always trying to trip us up. He's always trying to set a trap. But the Lord said, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Hallelujah. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Another lovely picture, just like the picture Tanya read. Under his feathers, under his wings, we can just see ourselves. Every time I read that, I see myself, oh, I'm under your feathers, Lord. I'm protected. Under your wings. I just see myself like a wee chick just sitting there. A wee yellow chick with a lovely big beak. Thanks, Michaela. Does nobody laugh in here? That's not funny. It's like everybody looks with a stern face. Is it the people in Belfast that have got the sense of humor, or the people in Bangor? I'm used to Newton Arch Road, Albert Bridge Road, and the jokes and the cracks and, you know, oh my dear, it was a culture shock when I went there, but I tell you what, it's a bit of a culture shock coming back. So come on, church, help me this morning. So I see myself as that wee chick under his feathers. Amen. In that place. And it's wonderful. It just brings comfort. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Isn't that wonderful? That's 24/7. That's got it all covered. Night and day. Day and night. I think it was a film entitled that or something. But 24 hours, you shall not be afraid. Not be afraid. You know, we've got to deal with fear at these times. Psalm 46 and verse 1 to 3, I'm just going to break here for a minute. It says, God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 46 verses 1 to 3, a very present help in trouble. And this is a time of trouble, but he is our present help in time of trouble. And we sang that this morning, Chris. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth, think about that, be removed. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Imagine, you know, sometimes when you read stuff, you read over, and some, you know, times in our pause, our chat, a mountain being carried in the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. Oh, Selah is featuring this morning. That word Selah means pause and think. Just take time to think. And the Lord's saying here, don't fear. Pause and think. Even though the mountains shake with the swelling, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, stop. Think. You're not to fear. So even with this virus running around, even with everything we see and people that are affected around about us, everything we see in the news, everything that's happening with it around the world, we are not to fear. We're to pause, think, do not fear. Because when we're in fear, we are not in faith. You cannot be in faith and be in fear. It's not possible. It's not possible. Now, does fear come once and we deal with it and doesn't come again? No. Sometimes it's every minute. If you're facing a grave situation, it can be, oh, I dealt with that fear. You go along another minute or two, another thought comes. You've got to deal with that thought. It's the thought. Isn't it? Fear is a spirit, but it comes into our minds, that thought, and we've got to deal with that. We've to take it, and we've to stop and think, where did that come from? Is that fear? Is that worry? I believe this whole thing is a big wake-up call to the church, isn't it? A wake-up call to church, that worldwide, that we're in the Word like never before, we're seeking His presence like never before. Everything we need to do on a daily basis anyway. But the church is doing that. Church is getting stronger, stronger and stronger, and shining brighter and brighter, and the harvest is coming in, started coming in. I know of two people that were saved through this week. Two Catholic ladies that were saved by two different people on the same day. Praise God. Saved. Hallelujah. It's happening. Chris was telling me as well, plenty of opportunities he's getting in work to witness. I'm sure those of you still at your workplace, it's the same. Around your neighbors, it's the same. We're going to get great opportunities to take at this time. Hallelujah. And we are the answer. Praise God. You can understand unbelievers being fearful. Unbelievers panicked and they don't know what to do, but not for the Christian. We don't want the unbelievers looking at Christians and going, oh my dear, they're falling apart. If they see the Christians falling apart, what hope is there for the world? Come on. What hope is there? This is when we stand strong. Even if we have to get away, deal with the fear, get alone with God, But you come out of that secret place and you come out strong. And your word be strong to anybody around about you, because I tell you, they are looking. They are looking at me and they're looking at you right now. If you've confessed Christ, they are looking. How are you walking this out? I'm not saying you're walking it out silly. We've taken precautions. We've taken government guidelines. We're doing that today. But I am telling you, people are looking, and this is our time to shine. It really is our time to shine. And it shows that we're standing on the promises of God. You know, Galatians 5 and 6 says that faith works by love. Faith works by love. And the more you understand the love that God has for you, the more you'll get a hold on fear. The more revelation. I'm just enjoying more and more the relationship that I have with Father God. More and more. And when I have that stronger and stronger understanding that God loves me, fear dispels. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love, complete love, casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if we're a kind of a very fearful person and given to a lot of anxiety, that's what we need to do. We need to fortify ourselves in the love of God, understanding he loves me so much. And the more you do that, the more you dwell on those love scriptures, you will not have to be dealing with that anxiety and fear any amount like maybe presently you are. Praise God. So when fear comes, the first thing you have to do is recognize it very quickly. There's sometimes in the past I've been slow to recognize it. Very slow. I'll give you an example. That's the Holy Ghost just brought it up. Years ago, I think Crystal would have been, maybe it was Daniel a baby or Kevin a baby. But years ago, we were struggling financially. And I remember going to the cooker over the cooker at the time. Brian was in the other room, but he could hear me. And I'm over at the cooker and I'm just crying. The tears are coming down my face. What are we going to do? I can't manage this. You know, I was just having a mental breakdown. You know, just whatever was happening, whatever I was saying at the time. I don't know what to do. I'm trying to remember the exact phrase because Brian shouted in to counteract it. I can't do this. Anyway, Brian shouted in, you're not supposed to. God has it. But, you know, I'm using that example to say I let myself go along for quite a while in fear and anxiety. I was having a meltdown over the cooker. I think it was all to do with probably we didn't have a lot in the cupboards or something. Why I was over the cooker, I can't quite remember. But I understand what it's like to be in those places and, you know, haven't had a lot. I understand what it's like, and that fear can grip you. But now I've learned quickly to realize fear coming. Oh, that's fear. That's trying to motivate me in my response and my action and my decision. I recognize it a lot quicker and deal with it. So you have to practice, okay? You don't practice by letting the fear take hold, but you practice in the fact that these worry thoughts are going to keep coming and you're going to have to keep dealing with it. But I promise you this, like in my life, you will get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, okay? But the fear will still keep coming, whether it's over the virus or something else. You just know how to deal with it quick. You learn how to do that. So fear, when it comes, deal with it immediately. I love John 14. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hallelujah. Believe also in me. So this is a time for us to reach out to those around about us and those that are troubled, those who are in anxiety. So back just to Psalm 91, just to finish. Verse 6 says, "Nor you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day." So 24 hours a day we're not to fear. Every second of that day. Verse 6, "No, you're not to fear the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday." Verse 7, "A thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you." What a promise. It will not come near you. It will not come near you. Oh, what a promise. It will not come near me. It will not come near my household. No, it can't. It will not come near me. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. It shall not come near you. I can't get off that. It shall not come near you. It shall not come. Do you feel that going into your spirit? It shall not come near you. Every germ, I believe, that touches me has no power. No power. No power. That's where my faith is at. But you've got to build your faith. You've got to fortify your faith. You can't just live in somebody else's faith. Maybe your spouse, you feel, is a stronger faith than you. No, you develop your own faith. You've got to be able to stand and say no. Because you won't be with that spouse all the time. You'll be out on your own or dealing with things anytime. You know, it's yourself. You have to fortify your faith in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It'll not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look, like you were looking at a bad movie, and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Oh, that's the secret. We've made him our dwelling place. Then no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. That's talking about your personal body. This is the tabernacle. This is our Holy Ghost lives here. And it's talking about our household. "Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." All your ways. But as I said before, be led, be led, be led. If you are being led every day, what to do, where to go, where not to go, who to talk to, who not to talk to, where to work, who not to work, what job to take, what not to take. Be led, be led, be led. And as you are led, he will keep you in all your ways. Isn't it awesome? As you're led, he will keep you in all your ways. As you're in the secret place, he can alert you of anything. "In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." So, angelic protection. And I just wanted to close it there on those verses. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.